creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, stars were made to worship so alive. I can see your heart and everything you need. Every burning star a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises so die. And
And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. What measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
And is it well with your soul today?
Amen.
That's a question we've got to answer every day, isn't it? Is it well with your soul? Are you where you need to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I want to echo everything that's been said about Bible school. Wow, we just had an amazing number of folks come out and work Bible school. It is phenomenal. And I would love to take credit for all of it. I can take credit for none of it because so many people do so much and just give of their time, give of their energy and finances as well. You know, it costs to pull that off, but God is just so good to us. And it's been a great week. And I know that Scotty was talking about prayer this morning. I want to throw a plug in here real quick. For those that may not be aware of that, this is a little advertisement for our church app. If you have a smartphone and you do not have our church app on it, shame on you. Because we got that thing put together so you can be aware of all the things that are going on with the church. You'll get verse of the day. You'll get... you can go back and research and watch sermons. You can hear messages. There's a selection there for pictures that we've done, different photos and things through the years. But also there's a prayer page there, prayer wall. You can click on that prayer wall, and if you have a prayer request, you can call me, which is fine, or you can push that little plus button up in the top, and you can put in your prayer request, and we'll make sure that it gets out to the people. So that gets all of us more involved in being a part of prayer, which is absolutely an important part of our walk with Christ. We are still in Joshua. So we're going to be in Joshua chapter number 22. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to look at a few verses of Scripture. We're in Joshua chapter number 22. We're going to look at the first five verses. We're almost to the end of Joshua. You believe that? I think this is the 12th message that we've had through Joshua. So we just got a couple of more chapters left. So on that note, be in prayer about where we go after this. Where do we go? What are we going to do? Are we going to stay in the Old Testament? We're going to jump to the New Testament. So pray with me about where God wants us to be. Joshua 22, verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he said unto them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but you've kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto you, unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore, now return ye and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Father, as we come to this part in the story of Joshua, we see his days are limited now. We see the land has been possessed. We see that the battles are over for this moment. We see that it's a time of rest. God, as these people go back to inhabit their land, as they go to the places that you had given them, we know that a new challenge comes up, a new importance comes up, and it's a matter of servanthood. It's being willing to serve you, God, in everything you call us to do after the battle is over. As you challenge them, God, you challenge us today as well. Forgive me of my sins. Many times I've not been a true servant of yours. But help me today, God, to have a servant's heart. Help me that it would carry over in my life. Help us, God, that we would not only just be thankful for salvation, but we would commit ourselves to service to you. Be with us, God, as we continue to expound on your scripture and guide us and convict those that need convicted today. Let your Holy Spirit have freedom among us today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Verse number 5, I want to go back and break down a couple of words for you just because I think this is really important. Remember those two and a half tribes, when they came to the Jordan River, part of the property was on that one side of the Jordan. And God said, I'm going to give 2.5 of the tribes possession and property here, which is included in the land of Israel. But the rest of the tribes are going to cross over into Jordan, and they're going to battle, and they're going to conquer the land, and each of those tribes are going to possess land there. So all of it's part of Israel. But these 2.5 tribes had a decision to make. They had already been given their possession, but God gave them a commandment. He said, I want you to go ahead and possess the land. All your warriors, all your soldiers, rise up and go with the rest of your brethren. Help them fight to possess their land. Then you can come back and rest. All of that had taken place, and it's all over. So now we have those 2.5 tribes. That's who he's talking to in Joshua 22. He's saying, the battles are done. Now they've been given possession. You go back home where you're at. But here's the command that I give you. Verse number 5, I think, is huge and important. He said, here's a command I give you. But take diligent heed to do the commandment of the Lord. The word diligent here means this. It means to force a great degree. So God's saying, what I want you to do is to be forceful to a great degree in keeping these commandments, and I'm telling you that you need to keep when you go home. He said, take diligent heed. The word heed here means to keep, to guard, and to observe. So we not only need to keep these commandments, we need to guard these commandments. We need to observe these commandments. We need to commit our lives to obeying the law that God had handed down to us because now the land's been possessed. There's so much more that comes after salvation, and it's so sad when people get saved and literally do nothing else in their relationship with Christ. Do you have and here's a good question, and this is kind of what we're talking about today. This is the theme here. Do you have a healthy spiritual life? Do you have a healthy spiritual life? What does that actually mean? Well, first it means you need to be saved. Have you been saved? Have you trusted in Christ to save? Do you know today without hesitation, without doubt, you are saved? Because you can go back to a moment when you called on Jesus and asked Him in your heart. Do you have that security today? If you don't, let's get that settled. If you do, then have you developed a healthy spiritual life? In a marriage, it's important for a husband and wife to communicate, right? I mean, if there's no communication, they're still married on paper, but as far as a relationship, it's in the dumpster. It's over. There must be a relationship that develops from making those vows and commitments to each other. The same way in our relationship with Christ. Once we say, yes, I believe in you, Jesus. Yes, I ask you to come into my heart, be my Savior. It begins that relationship. The Holy Spirit moves in. So now we start that relationship. Where is your relationship? Have you grown since you've been saved?
I've been saved like 50 years. Gosh, I hope I've grown. I've been saved 50. Well, coming up in October, I'll be 57. I'm still 56. But 50 years of my life, I've been saved. And when I say it like that, I go, wow. That's been saved a long time. Where am I at after 50 years of being saved and being a child of God? Have I been committed to service? Well, I've not been completely faithful, that's for sure. I fell short numerous times, but through the process, and it's just like a marriage. Again, in a marriage, guess what? You're going to fail. Sometimes we're going to fail miserably. But it's the process, isn't it? It's not about being perfect and being right all the time in a marriage. It's about working together through those trials and through those tribulations. That's where the strength comes from. And it's the same thing in our relationship with Christ. Are we being proactive in developing that relationship with God? Because Jesus died on a cross for our sins. He paid for our salvation. We become a child of God then. But the relationship has so much dependence on what we do afterward. We can choose to ignore God. We can choose to not read, to not pray, to not study, to not communicate with God, and we're going to suffer and we're going to be miserable. God will not make you read His Word. God will not force you to pray. You can have one person, one side in the marriage that is giving 110%, then you can have the other ones doing absolutely nothing. Who are we? Are we giving? Are we studying? Are we praying? Are we communicating? Are we developing that relationship with Christ? Are we more concerned about what we want than what God desires for us to do in our life? This is what servanthood is all about. And this is what this message is all about. Where is your spiritual life? And is it healthy? Gosh, if it's not healthy, please don't leave today until you get somewhere where we begin that road to health and to recovery in our spiritual life. Don't leave today miserable in your walk, your relationship with God. Don't leave today thinking, wow, I thought being saved would be a whole lot better than this. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but man, I've been a miserable Christian. Well, guess whose fault it is not if we're a miserable Christian? It's not God's fault if we're a miserable Christian. We can face unbelievable odds and obstacles, but at the same time, we can be at peace in our heart, depending on where our relationship with Christ is at. All right, now let's look at some things that we need to consider in servanthood, being servants of God. The first is this. This call to servanthood demands a response from us. You know something? When God speaks to you, you know what? You have to respond to Him. When God challenges you, when God convicts you, you have to respond. You have to, a question is asked and you have to give an answer to it. You can't just stand back and say, well, I just choose to not answer. Well, to choose to not answer means you've made a choice. To not choose is to say no to God. So we can't ignore when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we can't ignore it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 say this, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them," here's what he said, Jesus looked at these guys and he said, these brothers, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." I mean, Jesus spoke to them audibly. They heard Him. And they had a choice to make. Am I going to respond to this? Am I going to follow Him or am I not going to follow Him? Sometimes it's that simple. God speaks to us through the presence of the Spirit of God, and He says, here's what I want you to do. It may not be audible, but it's just as demanding as if Jesus were standing here and speaking with His own voice. The command of God is true, and the command of God must have a response. So you and I are sitting here, Spirit speaking to us, we must choose to respond. Do any of us, if we're asked this question, does anybody in here want to disobey God? That's about the most ridiculous question ever, isn't it? Does anybody in here want to disobey God? Has a desire to disobey God? Nobody does. Then why do we? Why do we? We have a choice to make. It's not that there's so much pressure that we can't choose to obey God. No, it is a conscious choice that we've got to make. And know this, God understands exactly what's going on in our life. We can bring all the excuses we want to. We're going to look at those in just a moment. But we can bring everything we want to try to say, God, I'm not able to do that. God knows, yes, we are able to do that. And it's not just about the Spirit speaking to us and giving us a plan and giving us a direction. I think it also has to do with us continuing in that faithfulness. So when God says, here's what I want you to do, and we're doing it, I think about Daniel when he went and prayed three times every day, went out to the window and he faced down toward where Jerusalem was at while he was in captivity, and he would pray looking down toward where Jerusalem was, down toward the south. And so as he prayed three times a day, it was his commitment to pray and his devotion to pray. And so when the command came that nobody can seek counsel of anybody else except the king, Daniel had a choice to make. He said, well, that decree's been made. Am I going to choose to continue to be faithful in what I already know I need to? God didn't have to come and tell him, oh, yes, you need to continue to pray. Now, he knew he needed to continue to pray. He knew faithfulness was mandatory in his walk with God. So he had a choice to make. Am I going to continue to be faithful, or am I going to let the circumstances around my life cause me to be disobedient to God? So it's not just the initial choice of obeying God many times. It's the choice we make of continuing in faithfulness when obstacles come up. And listen, you better know obstacles are going to come, right? Amen. For a child of God, challenges are going to arise. And then we've got to make that choice. Do I remain faithful to God? Because God demands us to respond to Him. We can't play it off as if, well, I didn't really hear God. No. God's going to make Himself heard, isn't He? He's going to make His voice known. He's going to make His command known. Then we must answer and respond to that choice. Now, the second thought is this. God, in being able to make that right choice to be that true servant, here's something to consider. God is greater than the task. He's always greater than the task. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's good, isn't it? Matthew 28 and verse 20, part of the Great Commission, He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here's what Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus said, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm going to be with you always. To the very end of this age, I'm going to be with you. So there we have it. God is always greater than whatever task it is, whatever calling it is, whatever demand or expectation that God is putting on your life. Know this, He is bigger than any obstacle that you're ever going to face. I want to flip back to Exodus chapter number 3. Go back there with me if you want to. We're going to run through these real quick, about five excuses that Moses came up with, and I think it's so beautiful how this line of communication goes. We're in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 11. Exodus 3 and verse number 11, the first excuse. Moses said to God, well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I mean, the first excuse is, I'm not able. I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. How many times have we whined around to God to tell Him we're not good enough, we're not qualified? Guess what? God knows that. He knows you're not good enough. He knows I'm not good enough. He knows we're not qualified. He knows we can't do it. God said in verse number 12, and He said, certainly I will be with thee. So don't forget, when God is calling us, you know what He's doing? He's saying, He's not saying this. He's not saying, I'm calling you. Go on. That's not what God's doing. Here's what God's doing. I'm calling you. Come on. Yeah, I'm not pushing you into a place where you're going to be alone. I'm not driving you in. I'm not a shepherd that drives his sheep. I'm a shepherd that leads his sheep. And if we could get that in our mind, that anytime God calls us, he is calling us to obey and go with him, not pushing us into a position of awkwardness or being uncomfortable, unqualified. Now, God is saying, I am going to be with you. Trust me and go with me. Remember that anytime God calls us in our life. Jump down to verse number 13, the bottom part of verse number 13. He says, well, when they ask me who it is that sent me, what is his name? And he said, what am I going to say to them? He's saying, well, I don't really have a good enough relationship with you, God, to be able to stand and expound to the people even who you are. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like, well, I've just not been saved long enough? Hey, I've not studied the Word of God enough to get up and share testimony. Really? Do you have to study to share a testimony? You've kind of already lived it, haven't you? And you know, you think about it, when somebody at work or somebody at school pops up with a question. I got a question about the Bible. I got a question about this. What do? We just go in panic mode because we're scared to death. We're not going to be able to answer the question. You know something you have in your arsenal that is the greatest thing ever? For it doesn't matter what question you are asked. If you for sure don't know biblically the reference they're talking about or how to answer that question, you know what? I don't know that, but I do know this. Like the old man in the Bible said, once I was blind, but now I see. And it was Jesus that gave me my sight. I mean, you have the greatest thing ever when you have a testimony of belief in Jesus Christ. Moses said, well, I don't think I know you well enough to be able to go out and speak about you. Yes, you do. Never let that be an excuse for you. Verse 14, God said, you tell them, I am that I am has sent you. All right, let's look in chapter number 4. Moses answered and he said, but behold, they will not believe me. Here's where we get now. We get in trouble when we get to this point because we start to say, well, if I go and I witness to somebody, they may not get saved. That's not up to you. It's not your call as to whether somebody gets saved or not. I mean, I've had doors slammed in my face before. I've had people curse me before, and perhaps you have too. But that's not between them and me. That problem is between them and God. I am called to share what God tells me to share. The rest is between them and God. It's not a matter of how they respond. Will they respond the way I want them to? I'm called to obey. The rest is between them. Verse number two, he said, the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, it's a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. What God's showing Moses here is this. He's saying, I can turn a stick into a serpent, into a snake. I'm the one that deals with that heart, not you. You do what? You throw down the staff. Let me be the one that performs the miracle. That's in my hands. Don't worry about it. The miracle part's mine. You just worry about simple obedience to do what I'm telling you to do. Down in verse number 10, I believe it is. Yeah, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. How many times we use that? Well, I just can't really sing. I'm just not really good. I don't need to be helping work in a class because I don't, you know, I can't talk. I can't read those Old Testament names. Listen, I've been preaching for almost 30 years. I still can't pronounce those names. I don't have a clue who these guys are. But we muddle through it, and we do what we feel like God tells us to do. We have these excuses. Verse 11, he said, the Lord said unto him, I love this. Here's what God said to him. Who made man's mouth? Wow. Listen, the sorriest excuses we can come up with, God's saying, I made you. If I'm calling you to go and speak, I'm going to give you that eloquent speech that you need. Or I'm going to make, if you slur every word, it's going to come out on the other end with the power of the Spirit the way it needs to. When they spoke on the day of Pentecost, what happened? Everybody heard in their own language. I mean, God's going to open it up to where they're going to hear what they need to hear. Then verse number 13, he said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." And then in verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "I is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart." That's what God's all about when we come up with these sorry excuses. Remember this, God is greater than whatever task we're going to be asked to do, because God will go with us and God will settle every excuse that we have. We have absolutely nothing we can bring before God and say, "God, this prevents me from serving you here." We can never say that and have any ground to stand on whatsoever. If God calls you to do anything, if God leads you or commands you to do anything, we are sworn to obedience of that, knowing this, that God goes with us. The next thought is this: service involves actual work. Man, I just wanted it to be a prayer thing. Didn't you? I want my relationship with God to be just a spiritual thing and a prayer thing. Now, I just want him to do the miracle stuff, and I want those kind. I want that kind of relationship with God, don't you? Well, who don't? I just want to walk into a room, you know, and then just drop a couple of words, and then just boom, about 1,000 get saved. That's what I want. You know what God said? He said, "It's time for vacation Bible school." I'm going to send you over about 100 kids. But here's what I need. I need about 85 workers to come over there and man the post over there. That's what I need. You see, it is actual work. When we serve God, it's not just praying. It's not. I admire people that have a wealth of knowledge about God's Word. I love those people. I love folks that can set, and you can pose question after question after question. I love our question nights when I used to go on the youth trips. That was one of the funnest times. Those are good times. Those are great times. And it gives you a moment where you can maybe showcase a little bit what you know or what you think you know about the Word of God. And that's good, and questions are answered. But you know, God's telling us there is an actual work that needs to be accomplished. Psalm 37. The 37th Psalm, verse 5, says this: "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." The word "way" here, when he's talking about commit your way, the word "way" means your course or your road. He's saying there's a commitment that you and I need to have in our daily walk, in the road that we're traveling, the course that we're traveling. We need to be committed to that and be a servant of that every day. There is work involved in serving God. It ain't all just cupcakes and rainbows, is it? It requires work. He told them one day, he said, they were without water for their beasts and they were fixed to go into battle. And they said, "Boy, we need some water. We need some rain. We need something to drink, you know, to get strengthened for that battle." He said, "Go out and dig ditches, dig holes. And I'm going to bring the rain. You're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear the thunder. You're not going to see it, but I'm going to fill it up with water." So we're going to get out of it as much as what we put into it. The deeper we dig, the more water that we're going to be blessed with. If we scratch top of the ground, we're getting nothing. If we dig deep, we're going to get enough to provide for us and for others. That's what servanthood is all about. It's not just about God doing the miracle stuff. It's about us committing to the portion he gives us, what God's asking us to do. What does God ask you to do? What does God lead you to do that you know is going to require work? Think about this. Though it's good to give, it's good to tithe, it's good to give an offering, which is above and beyond a tithe. How many times have we thought this? Well, there's something coming up. I tell you what, let's do. Let's just throw about $20 in and call it a day and say, "That's my contribution to the project." Yeah, we're going to go load up about 600 boxes of food. We're going to haul them to people's houses. I tell you what, let me just throw $100 in on that one. continue to send the money because we need it, right, Miss Terry? For the Christmas basket. Here's where the problem comes in, though. When God's telling you, you need to get over there and start throwing those cans in those boxes and jump in those vehicles and take them to those houses. When God puts that leadership on you, don't think you can cop out by saying, I'm going to throw $100 in, it's going to be fine. You know what that's called? That's called disobedience to God. Yeah, when we serve God, when we commit to be servants of God, it definitely requires actual work. And this last thought is beautiful. The reward is always above measure. The reward is always above measure. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Have you ever obeyed God in anything and come away thinking, well, that was a ripoff? I mean, I thought God was a God that blessed His people. We always come out and we say, oh my goodness, I wish I'd done that sooner. Oh man, I can't wait to do that again. I can't wait to be a part of that again. It was such a blessing. I'm telling you, there are people that were here during Vacation Bible School. I think every adult or a leader that was here will tell you, we are exhausted, Jamie. But it is a good exhaustion. We had a blast being there and being a part of what God was doing. I'm going to tell you something. There are blessings to be had when we serve God. That's one of the greatest ways we can receive a blessing is by serving God. Are we blessed by reading His Word? Absolutely. Are we blessed by praying? Absolutely. We are also blessed by serving God. And how do we serve God? We serve others. That's how we serve God. We serve others. Here's what you're going to get. When we commit ourselves to servanthood, here's what we're going to get. We'll close with this passage of Scripture here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. We went over these. We know every one of these a while back. But the fruit of the Spirit is this. Think about each one of these words and what they mean. Love. When we're a servant, when we're committed to servanthood, we're going to be able to experience true love. Joy. Wow. Peace. Isn't peace amazing? To have the peace in your heart that passes all understanding. Long-suffering. We're going to be able to put up with a lot and not retaliate. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. If we want our faith to increase, guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to choose to be a servant to God. Meekness. Meekness is a wild stallion under complete control. It's raw power controlled by the Spirit of God. And temperance, which basically means to be in self-control. We're not just hopefully going to be blessed when we obey God. We will be blessed when we choose to serve and obey God. Are you obeying Him today? Stand with me. We're going to have a word of prayer. Then we're going to get into our invitation. The question is this. Again, as we opened up, how healthy is your spiritual life today? How healthy is your spiritual life? God, we come to you today. We're praying right now. As we all pray together, we're praying individually. The question is this, where is my spiritual health level? Where am I at with you, God? Am I where I need to be? Is there work to be done? God, I know that you've already done everything you need to do. There's nothing more that you need to do. It all rests now on me. God, what do I need to do? Expose me to myself. Show me, God, what I must do to be healthy spiritually. I pray that each one of us, God, we're saying these words. We're opening up ourselves, God, not only to you, but to ourselves. We're understanding the needs that we have. And give us the courage today, God, to step out and settle these things today, to leave this spiritual hospital today healthy and well and ready to go out and conquer the world for Jesus Christ. Have your way, Jesus, during this time of invitation. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.